Well, Father, we just we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can all come together in this fellowship and with one accord. Father, we all want to be right with you. We want to be up on that holy road, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for cleansifying, to sanctifying us tonight before we got on, Lord. And we're ready to partake of your blessings, Lord. And we thank you that tonight's going to be a special night. We ask, Lord, that you anoint everybody in here with your Holy Spirit and that you fill them up, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome night because you say, Lord, that you never forsake us and you'll never leave us. We thank you, Lord, for the word because that word is forever settled in heaven. Praise God. Your word is the final authority. And because you watch over your word and you perform it, Father, your word is a light unto us, is health into all our whole flesh. And Lord, we came tonight to glorify you. And we didn't come to boast in but one thing, Lord, and that's you, your grace and your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a great night, Lord. And I ask that you bless it with your presence and with your words and let the gifts flow, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope that everybody has all the makings for communion tonight. The word doesn't say anything about it has to be wine or this or that, just something to drink and something to eat. So praise God. All we want to do is to bless the Lord tonight, right? And let him bless us. So with that, let's go ahead and ask for prayer. Has anybody got any prayer requests that they'd like to do tonight? Any prayer requests or would like to pray about something? All right. What about praise reports or testimonies, right quick?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have something I would like to have pray about. I've been having a ringing in my ears and a tooth that's been bothering me. So I'd just like to be prayed for that.
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out. Did you say your teeth are bothering you?
Yeah, just there's a nerve in one of my teeth that has been bothering me.
Okay, well let's just pray.
Sensitive to cold and heat.
Okay. Everybody's going to believe with me. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against any kind of pain in his teeth. We command him to straighten up. We command him to be healed. We command any kind of infection to go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of abscess to go in the name of Jesus. We command those teeth to be straightened up, lined up, and acting right in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you that his teeth are healed and restored in Jesus' name. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise God. Then it's done.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Michael, this is Don.
Yes, it is. How you doing, Don?
On the right line.
Okay. Praise God.
You remember a few weeks ago, I asked for prayer with regard to a new job or a new opportunity,
if
you recall that. Well, that was a Tuesday night. The following Sunday, Debbie and I were on a walk on a path by a river that runs through our town, and I had a divine appointment with a guy that I worked with about 15 years ago in a company here in town, and I had left the company to do other things. And in the course of that conversation, he invited me over to his office. Come to find out, they're reorganizing under a different name and some other brands and whatnot. Asked me to consider joining them. And so we've had one meeting, and tomorrow we're having an organizational meeting. It looks like both oars in the water there. So it'll be really an awesome answer to prayer. So I just wanted to give that praise report. And appreciate the prayer, and it was pretty cool the way the Lord set it up. There's other detail that I don't necessarily need to share now, but God's definitely in this one.
Okay, well, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. This is going to turn out to be a great job for Don. Thank you, Father. And
that's
Debbie.
What it's something I've done in the past, so it'll be good. It'll be really good.
Okay, great. Awesome. Sounds great. I'm excited already. Praise God.
You just the opportunity to have the hours that'll allow us to to live with it, function within the body of Christ. That's what I'm most excited about. So
all right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that'd be great. All right. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, prayer.
Michael?
Yeah, Stan.
Yes, some time ago we asked for prayer for Claudia's cousin, and she not immediately, but she did get better, and she was off all her tubes and everything and walking around. And she gave a testimony that the Lord had healed her. And then like the next day she got attacked again. So she needs prayer again. They're going to do a surgery on her soon, and it's a dangerous surgery for her. Her name is Lisa, and they're going to operate to remove a cyst from her pancreas.
Okay, you want to pray, or you want me to pray?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and pray?
Okay, her name is Lisa, right?
Right.
Well, Lord, we just lift up Lisa to you, Lord. We ask that you give her bold faith to believe what your word says, Lord, and the promises say. We come against that cyst on her pancreas right now. In the name of Jesus, we command it to dissolve right now in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you when the doctors go in there, they're going to be scratching their head because they're not going to be able to find that cyst because you've already removed it in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you that it's going to be a testimony to your grace and your mercy upon Lisa. And, Lord, let it be known to her that it was you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You agree, Stan?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else?
I have a quick report.
Okay, Barbara. We'll get you in a minute, that guy, and hold after she gets through.
Oh, okay. If she wants to, go ahead.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, okay. I thought someone else was going. I just have a quick praise report that the Lord had taken it out of my sister's heart to go to, I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, Rodney Howard Brown's church down there in Florida. She had been going there a couple times, and when I found out, I was praying really hard about that and against that, and I prayed the Lord would take it out of her heart, and the Lord orchestrated things in her life. I don't need to go into details, but he orchestrated things in her life, and she announced to me she's no longer going to go there. And I was, like, rejoicing and praising the Lord because, you know, that's that filled with deception, all that that Todd Bentley stuff and whatever, that false revival movement that went on years ago. So, and I was just really elated that he took that out of her heart. So, just wanted to give that praise report.
Amen. Did she ever get prayed over by that bunch?
No. She only went a few times, and it was because so-and-so wanted her to go. And, no, she never did.
Okay.
She started to get excited, though. She says, remember, Barbara, when we were young, in Pastor Volt's church, how we used to pray in the Spirit. And, of course, I never participated in that stuff because, well, I was a big heathen back then, and I thought they was all crazy anyway. So I never got caught up in that. But she was telling me that she liked that because that's what she was accustomed to. But, no, to my knowledge, she's never gotten prayed over in that. I'm praying that she'll come into the full knowledge of the truth. You know, the Lord's been having me minister to her, little lights here and there, you know. I just praise the Lord. I know he's going to bring her in.
Okay, praise God. All right. Okay, Gaynor, did you have something?
Yes, I was going to give a praise report. I had a healing on Sunday. I know we spoke to you one day last week that we were kind of under attack here. And first of all, our computer had a problem, and then our router did also. And anyway, that's all taken care of now. But then on Saturday, it came in the evening, and it was just like I had electrical short, and it was just causing really sharp pains in my leg. It was like an electrical charge, and it kept us up for 24 hours. And we prayed for it at the beginning, but it didn't go away right away. So I guess it was kind of a trial of my faith. But then the next evening, it totally left, and I've not had one sign of it yet. And so I really praise the Lord, because it was coming, you know, like sometimes 30 seconds, sometimes a minute, sometimes 2 minutes apart. And I could not even rest. And but it's all gone, and I thank the Lord that I'm healed. And that was it. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Well, all right. Did somebody try to speak up then?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Barry?
I think Vanessa wants to ask for prayer for something.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. yeah, you know, when I came to visit, when we came there last weekend, first of all, we had a really good time seeing everybody and everything, and it was wonderful to see how much love and peace there was. I've never seen that kind of thing with so many people like that. But I was, I remembered while I was there a dream that I had a couple weeks ago, that I was like at a doctor's office, I think, and there was like a doctor and a nurse. I was sitting down, and they came over to pray for me and put their hands on me, and I started getting scared and feeling like I was going out, and knowing that it was not a good thing that they're praying for me, and just thinking that I have to stay awake, I have to watch and not go out. Or, you know, they're going to impart something bad to me spiritually. And I didn't really know why I had that dream, but because we have not been with people, you know, with Christians for so long. And, like, nobody's prayed for me, but I thought that I probably better have you guys pray for me, because maybe that was a warning.
What kind of warning you reckon, Vanessa?
I don't know. Just about maybe receiving some bad spirit or something. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's pray against it, okay?
Okay.
All right, in the name of Jesus right now, we command any kind of a foul spirit to leave, Vanessa. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just ask that you put up a hedge of protection around her, that not a demon one could penetrate, in the name of Jesus, Father. And Lord, we come against pharmakia, witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, coming against her. And we command it to cease its activity right now, in Jesus' name. We bind you up and cast you off of her right now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that Vanessa is delivered and set free from that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else got anything that dream that Vanessa had that you might want to, the Lord's showing you? Well, all right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Cheryl.
Well, I just want to confess the good report that everything that I wrote to you about, the deliverance that I need, the healings that I need, and the spiritual gifts that I desire and want, and now that I know that baptism is coming, I just want to praise the Lord and thank Him for all that He's already done for me and that He's going to do, and I just want to praise Him and thank Him and give Him all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I had the microphone muted, so I was sitting there praising God while I was talking to myself. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, you're set free, Cheryl. Praise God.
Amen.
Anybody else? All right. I hope everybody brought their communion stuff with them tonight. We're going to do a, by request of not only one, but a few people wanted to have communion, and I thought it was a great idea. It's been quite some time since we've had one. So I asked David, somebody requested that David be doing it, which is fine. It's great. And he agreed to come on and do it. So, David, if you want to talk to the people?
I sure do. Wish we could do a group hug right now. God bless you, folks. I'm so glad to be with you. And I think we're going to have a good time in the Lord studying this. I'd like to look at quite a few things here about communion and about the Lord's Supper. And are you ready?
Go right ahead, brother.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
All right, God bless you. I tell you what, let's start in 1 Corinthians 10 and 15. And I want to talk about what is communion and who's qualified for it and or how to get qualified for it. So anyway, Paul said in verse 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? And the word communion there means having in common. We are having in common the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? And of course, having in communion the body and the blood of Christ means that we as a body are partaking of his body and his soul, because Leviticus 17 and 11 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the word life there is soul. The soul of the flesh is in the blood. Now, what is the advantage of partaking of his body and his blood, or his soul or his nature? You know, because that's what your soul is. It's your nature. It's your mind, you know. And so, well, the advantage of that is that we are the body of Christ, so we have a right to his body and his soul, or his life, or his nature, however you want to say it. They're all very synonymous. We're partaking of that by faith. Now, it's not transubstantiation, as the Catholics say, the actual body and blood of Christ. It's better than that, because we're partaking of him through faith. And the action of the Lord's Supper is just a way to get our imagination involved with our faith to bring this to pass. People do get healed, people do get delivered, people do get gifts of the nature of Christ through partaking of this when their imagination is involved in it. Just imagine that you are partaking of his body, and by whose stripes you were healed. His body is healthy. Just imagine you're partaking of his soul, and which is in the blood, which is what the wine symbolizes, right? Just imagine that you are partaking of that. Because you are, you know, because this is what was given to us at the cross, his body and his soul, his body and his life, his body and his nature. That was given to us at the cross. So when you partake of this, just remember, his body doesn't have any sickness in it. His soul doesn't have any demon possession. His soul doesn't have all the attributes of your natural father and mother that were passed on down to you that we call sin. His soul doesn't have any of that, but we partake of it. We partake of his body and his soul. Praise be to God. Now, that's an exciting thing if you stop and think about it. But that's all right as Christians, you know. This exchange has been made. His life for our life, his body for our body. And we partake of that. Remember that the next time you think about sickness, and just remember you don't really have to accept that in the first place. You don't have to accept the sickness. You don't have to accept demon possession or oppression upon your soul. You don't have to accept the sins of your parents that were passed on to you. You don't have to accept any of that anymore because of what we partake of here. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. And let's see, I think I'm going to read 17 on down. I want to talk about the qualifications and how to get qualified, you know, the qualifications for the Lord's Supper. And verse 17 says, "But in giving you this charge, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Well, that's a sad thing that we could come together to celebrate the body and blood of Christ, and it be for the worse. But it has to do with what we're putting in, and that could be the leaven that the Lord tells us to get rid of, right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so verse 18 says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it." Now, let me say, first of all, if it is the communion or having in common of the body and soul of Christ, then you can't afford divisions, because if you have that, you don't have communion, right? If you've got divisions. So obviously the whole church throughout the world is supposed to be having communion, but because of divisions, which we sometimes call denominations, that this is not possible. In fact, he tells you that a little further down. It's not possible. Okay, but as a small group, when we realize that we're not fellowshipping because of what we know, we're fellowshipping because of what he did, and we come together in communion, we can have all of his benefits, and we can have the fellowship of one another, right? So I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be factions. And actually the word there is heresies. Factions and heresies are very, very close. They're almost a synonym. I'll just read to you what Vines has to say about heresy, but that's the word here. And I feel like that's what the way it ought to be translated, because another word for faction is not here. So, but heresy, according to Vines, is an opinion, especially a self-willed opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of truth and leads to division and the formation of sects. He also says, such erroneous opinions are frequently the outcome of personal preference or the prospect for the prospect of advantage. In other words, a person that causes division using doctrines, using thoughts, using beliefs, self-willed opinions, causing division for the sake of advantage. Now, that's, of course, what denominationalism is. It's to separate them from them and separate them unto you. People who are jealous and proud and desire to make disciples for themselves like to carve up the church, and many times the devil cooperates by giving them spirits that will enable them to do that. And there are factious spirits, and there are heretical spirits. And this particular one is a heretical spirit. They're very, very close, and some people consider them a synonym. Most of the time, heresy is the idea of false doctrine is put in there. But I got to tell you that even true doctrine can be used falsely, and that's what factious people do. So it's all false doctrine, if you really want to know the truth. For there must also be factions or heresies among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. So this heresy thing, let me just point out to you the text that I think best describes heresy. 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, "But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that brought them." Well, we know that heresies and divisions do deny the master. They deny the master his right to have unity in the church. Remember, Jesus prayed, "Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one." And of course, they deny the master with their factions. And it goes on to say, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Anybody that uses or is used by factious spirits or heretical spirits, they're asking for destruction. It will bring destruction in their life, in their family, so on and so forth. Because, you know, when you divide God's body, he'll divide your body. Okay. And verse 2 says, "Many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words," and that's what they use is words, and they have covetousness, they have desire, they have jealousy, they have pride, they have selfish ambition. "They with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not." So that is the text that I think best describes this word heresies here. And, of course, the very opposite of heresy is love. The very opposite of heresy is Romans 14. I'll just read you a little piece of Romans 14 so you get the idea. It says, "But him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, not for decisions of scruples or doubtful disputations," not to argue with them. There's many arguers out there. They're fighters out there. They don't want peace. You know, they're all competitive and they're arguing with one another about who's the greatest, you know, and so on and so forth. And they want to prove it through doctrines and things, but, or they want to divide you from other people by using crazy doctrines. And the Lord doesn't permit that in this text. You can tell it very plainly. "One man has faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not, but let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him." Notice that God has received them both. And he wants us to receive them both. We don't have to compel people to agree with us. That's up to the Lord. We can grow up together in peace and harmony if we just understand these things. But you cannot do that with people with factious spirits or heretical spirits. They will strain out a gnat and swallow a camel in order to divide people unto themselves. "For God hath received him," he says. "Who art thou that judgest the servant of another? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind." In other words, let him be convinced by his conscience. Okay? And don't try to make somebody do something against their conscience. First, they need to be educated, right? You don't have to force that down their throat either. But the whole text here is about the very thing I'm talking about here. "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that eateth, eateth unto the Lord, and he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and none of us dieth to himself. For whether we live or whether we die, we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." So, and the whole text is about this, is not doing things that will cause your brother to stumble if they think it's sinful, on and on. You can read this later, but I just wanted to point out that that is the truth, and that causes unity because everybody doesn't have to agree with everybody on everything, you know. We agree on the basis or else we're not even born again. We agree Jesus is the Son of God or we're not born again, et cetera, et cetera. So, but there are many other things that we don't have to agree on immediately. And sometimes people have to have time to study out the word and discover things. And we have to give them that right. You know, let them study it. Let them have peace with them. Don't judge them. You know, have peace with them. And so this is, of course, the way to have unity so that you can have communion. If you don't do this, you can't have communion. Or your group gets smaller and smaller and smaller like Christianity has done, you know, and you can't have that communion that you, that the Lord desires. In fact, he goes on to say, when therefore you assemble yourselves together, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. Why? Because there's no communion. With the faction and with the division that he spoke of there, there is no communion. So when we come together, we've got to have peace because we've got to forgive other people their weakness, just like they forgive us our weakness, right? So we come together in unity, trusting in the Lord to be our teacher and our savior, trusting in the Lord that he will bring our brothers and sisters up to the level of knowledge and not we ourselves. It's not our responsibility. It's his responsibility. And when a teacher teaches, well, you can believe it or not, but you don't have to judge him if he's wrong. And I know that there are a lot of doctrines out there that are very destructive. And of course, we want to teach against them, you know, but at the same time, we can't compel people to understand. That's God's work. He's doing that. Verse 21 says, for in your eating, each one taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat in and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I praise you not. Well, this is obviously selfishness. And obviously you can't have unity with selfishness either. Just like you can't have unity with selfish ambition that's involved in the divisions and factions. You can't have unity with selfishness when people are not wanting to be servants one of another and not wanting to prefer the brethren, prefer others before yourself, right? And these things hinder this communion. And when you try to come together, it's more unto judgment than it is unto blessing, as we're going to read us a little further down. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Now notice what he said. This is my body. My body. This is my body. Okay. Is he talking about transubstantiation as the Catholic says? No, he's not. He's showing you that you can accept by faith the body of Christ through this imagery here. Just like in baptism, when you get baptized, you believe that when you go down, you're buried with Christ. Now, that's just going underwater, right? Right. And the water doesn't cleanse you, according to what Peter said. No, it's the faith that does that. You're exercising your faith through your imagination, because it's much easier for us humans to do that. We're able to get involved with our faith a lot better when we got something physical in front of us. Okay, so partaking of the body and blood of Christ, this enables us to imagine that we are actually partaking of the body and blood of Christ. And what causes it to actually be that? It's the faith. We're not talking about that the bread is the actual body of Christ. We're talking about that through faith you receive the actual body of Christ. And this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Okay, that is the new covenant in my blood. This cup of wine here. Okay, they did use wine because they were getting drunk on it, you know, very foolishly and selfishly, and not caring about the body. They were doing that. this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. How do we proclaim the Lord's death? By drinking the cup and eating the bread. Well, the word there, proclaim, means to show forth. We show forth when we partake of Christ, when we're able to partake of the body and blood of Christ, which is his very nature and his very word, right? When we're able to partake of that, we're able to show forth his death. Where do we show forth his death? In ourselves. You can't partake of the word of God without dying. You can read it without dying, but you can't partake of it. You can't assimilate it. You can't eat it so that it goes into yourself and replaces who you are. You know, baptism, of course, is an act of death. You can't have baptism without dying. Okay, we accept that death right there. We accept it by faith in that baptism and that resurrected life when you come up out of the water, right? And the same is true here. We accept this as done by faith. And of course, this faith will deliver you from soulish problems as well as body problems. When you realize that you no longer are you, you are now Christ, Christ in you, you know? And so you proclaim the Lord's death. You show forth the Lord's death because you're becoming united with him in his death. Through this word in your computer program, right? And wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, which is what we've been talking about, right? Selfishness, selfish ambition, factions, divisions, works of the flesh, right? Whosoever in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, that's the very opposite of what we want done in this. But if we are not qualified according to what we've just read, we are a part of the problem. We are through our sin, actually crucifying the Lord, right? And we're one bread with the Lord. And we're one fellowship with the Lord. And so I'm going to read on here. It says, they're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In other words, we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're qualified for this, that we're not causing division in the body. We're not seeking selfish ambition. We're not being selfish. We are partaking of his life. We're proclaiming that we are partaking of his life. Can you imagine? I mean, you know who Jesus is. You know what he did. You know what he said. You know his humble attitudes. You know all this. This is what we partake when we partake of the wine which represents the blood of Jesus. We partake of his nature just like we partook of the blood of our parents, you know, which is the curse that we've lived under. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself if he discern not the body. Well, that's just it. You know, when we read Romans 14, you begin to realize that these people, even though there's a lot of ignorance involved and a lot of false doctrine in their minds and so on and so forth, the Lord says they're his servants. They're a part of his body. And if you're fighting and squabbling with God's people and competitive with God's people and arguing with God's people, you're not treating them the way the Lord's commanded. He said, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You have done it unto me. In other words, you are guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. So he eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself if he discern not the body. They are the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what they look like, because just as you accept the body and blood of Christ by faith. They accept the body and blood by faith, and so they are, through their faith, the body and blood of Christ. And, you know, if we mistreat them, we're mistreating Christ. And we see them through the eyes of faith, just like we see ourselves through the eyes of faith. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into that same image, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord to Spirit. In other words, we accept that we no longer live. Christ lives in us. And so we have to do the same for them. That's the problem, is a lot of people are willing to do that for themselves, but they're not willing to do that for their brethren. They're not willing to believe that God will finish the good work that he started in them, just as he will finish the good work he started in us. We see the end from the beginning, so we accept this by faith for ourselves, and we accept this by faith for others. This really cuts out a lot of judgment and criticism. And because people that do that are competitive, they're giving in to the lusts of their flesh. And as you know, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. And, of course, he actually goes down to tell us that. He said, for this cause, many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Because if we walk contrary, we're showing forth the Lord's death. We're believing we've accepted his life, his nature, his word. And we know that Romans 8 and 13 just tells us very plainly, if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so there's death involved when you walk after the flesh. You're not proving that you're partaking of the body and blood of Christ. I mean, we're accepting and committing today that we are partaking of the body and blood of Christ. So therefore, he made us free from sin. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 6. If he made us free from sin, how did he do that? Well, because of the reconciliation, which means an exchange, which means that we were, our soul was nailed on that cross and his soul was given to us. There's been an exchange, and we accept that by faith. But you can't walk in willfully walking after the flesh and expect to receive his life, because he said you'll die. And that's what we're seeing here. This is another qualification here. For this cause, many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. Where does sickness come from? They say, well, it comes from sin. That's where the curse comes from, right? But if we discerned ourselves, we should not be judged. And so, of course, some versions say, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait one for another. In other words, no selfishness. Prefer the brethren, the humble life that the Lord Jesus gave us through his blood is now our life. You know, if any man is hungry, let him eat at home, that your coming together be not unto judgment. And the rest will I set in order whensoever I come. So we know that in Galatians chapter 5, I would say, let's see, maybe 16. Yeah. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions. There you go, factions and divisions. Parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, these people do not have the benefits of the kingdom. And we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that we're told that in order for the body to have fellowship and not be polluted with the leaven, he tells us, put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Verse 13. And what is the purpose for this? Well, if you go back to verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So this is a Passover, you know, for our Passover. It is the Lord's Supper. And he said, I wrote unto you in my epistle not to have company with fornicators, not at all meaning with the fornicators of the world or the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. For them must you needs go out of the world. So we don't want to have communion. We partake of one another. You know, when we come together, we speak to one another. Our words go into one another. The words that we speak are spirit and life or spirit and death, and they go into one another. And so we are partaking of the rest of the body because the body functions to support itself. Each member of the body supports the rest of the body in some way. And so when we come together, if there's leaven there, we are not partaking of the body of Christ. And that's why he tells you that not a few are dead because they have continued to partake of the world and tried to partake of Christ at the same time. So what do we do should we have fallen into one of these sin natures here? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John to, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Verse 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, fellowship means like communion, giving and taking, right? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. So this can qualify us right here. Many people have, you know, there's a very good reason for confessing your sins, humbling yourself to the Lord before taking communion to make sure you're qualified. Make sure you have confessed these things and that you have failed the Lord in and walked in sin. Confess them so that they're put under the blood. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. So therefore, the general habit of coming together to partake of the body and blood of Christ, it's started with a confession of our sins to the Lord. And of course, if you've sinned against someone else, it's a good idea to deliver them from that too by confessing it to them. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So if we partake today of the body and blood of Christ, with the belief, with the faith that we are partaking of his body, which has no curse in it. We're partaking of his blood, which is his soul, which has no curse in it. All the things that we have struggled with that are passed on through our human nature, we admit and we accept and we confess that we are dead to those things. We, in other words, show forth the Lord's death. We are partakers of his death, right? And if we receive his body, which by the way is, he was the Word made flesh. So his body represented the Word of God. And he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And of course, he's speaking about with the Word of God. And so we accept that as our gift from heaven too, that we have the mind of Christ, as the scripture says. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Many times our will is out of line, but we know that we've received the soul of Jesus Christ through this, so that we have received his will. And the Bible does say that he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. There isn't anything that this doesn't cover, is what I'm trying to say, concerning the nature of sin, concerning the curse that comes with the nature of sin upon your body, concerning all these things. God took care of all of this. And through this act of faith, which is not a ceremony, it's an act of faith. Through this act of faith, we receive what we need, whether it has to do with our body or whether it has to do with our soul. We receive what we need through this. Now, let me ask you to do this with me. Let's take just a few minutes to examine ourselves, as it tells us to do here in 1 Corinthians 11. Examine ourselves. And usually you know pretty quickly where you're failing the Lord, and just confess your sins to the Lord so that you can be delivered of all unrighteousness, and so that you are able to partake in unity, all of us together in unity, of the body and blood of Christ, a communion, a having in common. Let's do that. Let's just take a moment right now to do this. All right. Unless you're particularly a bad sinner, we probably got through with that, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for delivering us from our sin according to your word in 1 John, for cleansing us and for giving us your righteousness according to that word there. And Lord, we renounce any forms of faction and division or striving with the brethren or judging the brethren in areas that they should have a right to grow up in you and should have a right to our faith that they can do that. So, Lord, we just renounce all these things that you point out to us very plainly, disqualify us, any kind of willful disobedience. We renounce these things. We renounce all of these things. We thank you that through the blood of Jesus, we've been given his nature, his life, his will, his mind, his emotions. We thank you, Father, that his soul is our soul, that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Therefore, Lord, we proclaim that we are entitled to partaking of this body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, just as 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Okay, let's partake of the bread, the body of Christ. In like manner also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the blood of Jesus. And he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Well, Lord, we thank you that we have become united with you in the likeness of your death, your burial, your resurrection. We now proclaim that we are partakers of your resurrection life. And that even as you are, even so are we in this world, as the scripture says. So we accept, Lord, your life in us, your blood now flows in our veins. We are accustomed to having the same faults and traits as mom and dad, but by faith, we don't believe in that. We don't accept that anymore. We don't have to believe that we have inherited that from them anymore. We believe that we have inherited the very nature of Jesus Christ, that it's his blood now that cleanses our blood. And we believe, too, that we are the Word made flesh because we are the body of Christ. And, Lord, we thank you that that Word lives in us. And we thank you that you have put your will in us, your mind, your will, your emotions, all part of the soul, Lord. We accept that the soul of Jesus now is manifested in us. We see the end from the beginning. We call the things that be not as though they were. We accept now that Jesus lives in us. His will is in us. His life is in us. His purity, his holiness is in us. His health is in us. We are healed. He has taken away our sins, and we are healed through the reconciliation of the body and blood. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this awesome gift, Lord. Lord, let us not confess the doubts of the world who don't know the gospel. Lord, help us to, well, put a watch before our lips, Lord, and cause us to remember the good confession in the front of many witnesses, Lord. And let us confess the salvation that we have through Christ. Let us confess his holiness, his righteousness, his purity, his health. We have all these things. We receive them today by faith. And Lord, I know we do this as often as we do it. We do it in remembrance of you. We need to be remembering what we have, what the gift is that we have. Help us to remember this, Lord, and help us to confess this through the week. Now, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So let us believe we have received these things, Lord. Help us to remember this day what we have done. Help us to believe and confess you before men, Lord, so that we may see this miracle come to pass. And Father, we ask you to fill us with your gift of faith. You said by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Let our actions be worthy of the kingdom, Father, that you may gift us this gift of faith, that we may receive and manifest everything that Christ gave to us at the cross. Let it be done, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, have mercy upon our foolishness. Help us to have mercy upon others. You taught us that mercy glories against judgment. And Lord, we just ask you, Father, to help us to give grace to others, because that's what we need every day. Help us to give grace to those around us, and help us to also reap what we have sown. And that is mercy and grace from others, mercy and grace from you. And Father, thank you for your gift of faith, because it's all from you. It's all a gift from you. It starts with faith, and that's your gift to give. We ask you to give us that gift. We ask, Lord, that you give us that gift for others, so that we don't have to get into division and faction and strife and all these things, competition. Lord, help us to give these things up and desert them, because they are an abomination in your eyes. And so we ask you, Lord, to give us grace and help us to be one. Lord, we pray that your church worldwide, you said that we would be one flock and one shepherd. Lord, that's what we pray for. We want to see the unity of the body. We want to see your Holy Spirit make us one. Lord, what a force in the earth if God's people would come together in the unity of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the kingdom. What a force to be reckoned with. The world wouldn't be able to stand up against us. The beast wouldn't be able to make war on us. Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name, we want to see that one flock and one shepherd, just like it was in the days of Jesus and his disciples. Lord, we want to see that one flock, one shepherd, that we have that communion of the body and blood of Christ, and that it be worldwide for the body of Christ. Lord, we are the body of Christ, and the one who lives in the body of Christ is Christ himself. Lord, we confess this, that we are the body of Christ, and that he lives in us, and we don't live anymore. And we thank you, Father, for fulfilling that in us. We thank you for blessing everyone that joined us today in this communion, that they will receive supernatural benefits from what we just did today. Let them receive whatever it is that Christ provided through his body and blood. Let them receive it today, Lord. Let them receive health in their body, health in their mind, health in their soul. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We are unworthy of any of it. We couldn't work our way into it if we tried. And we're just worms, Lord. But you have made us sons of God. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you and praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Anybody have a question? Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. This is your chance now. David's on here. If you need to have a question about communion, it's the time to do it.
Dale, I'd like to thank you, David. That was just wonderful. That was just wonderful. I'm sure everybody thought that too. It was just nice to have communion again. And thank you for taking us through that so well.
Oh, you're very welcome. God bless you.
I've got some of you muted that didn't have their phones muted. We were getting some background noise. So if you want to unmute and say something, it's star. That gets you unmuted. Okay. Has anybody got any questions for David or any comments that they'd like to make?
Michael, am I on or do I need to unmute myself?
No, you're on. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when somebody's baptized, it's an opportune moment to start kicking the demons out of them because there's been a the unwelcome sign has been put up. In other words, they don't have any authority to be there then. And it seems to me, not to the same extent, but once somebody's gone through communion, it seems like there's at least a renewed faith there for the same thing to stand against evil.
Well, okay. Hey, does anybody want to add their faith to the rest of the bodies here for anything in particular? You know you have a right to this. We just saw it very clearly. It is your right to partake of the benefits of Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he's given unto us. If you would like to add your faith to ours, let's speak up and we'll do it.
You know, this is... we've got quite a number of people on here tonight. That's a lot of power in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got something you want to pray about, bring it on because God's fixing to take care of it.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, really appreciate that. This is wonderful. I've really been seeking the Lord and pressing into understand the balance of the difference between, you know, striving according to the flesh and striving to enter the rest. And I've been finding a new wonderful place of rest in the Lord. But I just want to believe for greater understanding, greater wisdom to, you know, to fight the good fight of the faith without getting worn out in the process, I guess. Not that I have been. The Lord's been sustaining me wonderfully. But I just want to go a lot deeper in this and just like to believe for that.
Well, amen. Why don't we put our faith together for Chad and for all of us? We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. We have his wisdom. We, of course, have to pray and believe we have received and confess it and thank God for it, but we have it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for pouring out your wisdom in our midst, Lord. We have the mind of Christ. The exchange has been made. Reconciliation has been accomplished. We thank you, Father, for wisdom. We thank you for truth. We thank you for a love for the truth. We thank you, Lord, that your discernment, your wisdom is ours as a gift of Jesus Christ. Everything that he was and is, we are. And we thank you for it. We stand for it. We confess it, that you are ours. We have the mind of Christ, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen. You got something there, Barry? All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Hey, Cheryl, go ahead.
Well, I want y'all to add y'all's faith with mine that I've been delivered and of diabetes and healed and all the symptoms and all the, because there's different things that go along with it. Like there's gluttony, there's sleepiness, and there's all that. So I want y'all's faith to be with mine that I've been healed and set free of all the different other things that comes with it, and the nerve damages in my leg, and I want to confess that and believe that I'm healed and set free and restored as Jesus. It's no longer my body now that Christ is in me, and I've been healed and set free.
Amen. Amen. Well, we know, Cheryl, that you can't have this. You can't have this according to the Word of God, because the Word of God says, by whose stripes you were healed. And we know that we just reinforced that today in the fact that we have received the body of Christ, which has no diabetes, has none of these nerve problems, has none of this gluttony problems. He just doesn't have any of this. And so we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We receive this gift today, Lord, for Cheryl and for anybody else out there. We receive this gift today. There is nothing in your body like this. And matter of fact, you said of your body, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. You cannot have diabetes. It is not possible. According to the mind of faith and the words of faith, it is not possible. It is gone. And every spirit of infirmity has to leave your body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask you to fill Cheryl with this faith, Lord, this faith that what just happened and what you did at the cross, it is done. And these spirits of infirmity have no authority over you. We've been given authority over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So, Lord, we take that authority over all of his power. And we cast it down in the name of Jesus. We proclaim it as done in Jesus' name. You said all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. And you shall have them. You have them. Lord, we thank you that this is done. How many different ways, Lord, have you shown us that this is done? How many different avenues do we have, Lord, through the scriptures, different promises coming from different directions for the same thing? We are free. We are healed. We are delivered in Jesus' name. And we receive this today for Cheryl, too. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. You believe that, Cheryl?
Yes, sir. I'm gonna fight Satan's all the fiery darts that he's tried to take away my joy and my deliverance and healing, and I'm going to cast him to the ground as dead. He no longer has any more power over us. Over me or my body. It's no longer I that lives. It's Christ who lives in me, and that's my confession.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for me to hold fast to that and not let it go and give up.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl's healing and everybody else's too, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Charity.
Hi, I'd like prayer for more, just fervency and spirit, you know, just to any dross to be removed and just to have more just the life of the Lord in me, and to just have complete victory over any doubt and then unbelief, that remnants of that remaining. And also, if there's anything that's in me still from the apostate system, church system, that totally be removed. I just feel like I could use a little renewal.
Well, amen. Okay, Michael, you help me remember all those things, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree together today for Charity and for all of us too, Lord, that there is nothing left of us. There's nothing left in us of that apostate system, Lord. We have the mind of Christ, and all of the ways and the thoughts of the harlot are missing and gone from us in Jesus' name. We see the end from the beginning. We believe we have received all things. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that in Charity and in all of us, Lord, all of us. We want to have your maturity and your wisdom and your understanding. And we know that we have the mind of Christ because the exchange has been made. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing this for us, Lord. And Lord, yes, anything that's left of the old life, Lord, it's gone. It is gone. We proclaim it as done in the name of Jesus Christ. We proclaim that Charity is that new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, as your word clearly says. And we are ministers of reconciliation, which is this exchange. We command this exchange in Charity's life and in all of our lives, Lord. We command this exchange. We command this body and this soul to line up with the word of God. This is done. It is finished, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Lord, we do receive this awesome gift. The gospel is the good news, Lord. We stand upon your good news that all of the old life has passed away. It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. And all of the new life is ours. We have been resurrected with Christ. When we came up out of that water, when we received tonight of the body and blood of Christ, we have, just in another parable, received the same thing. Thank you for that resurrection life of Christ, Lord. It solves all of our problems. And we go forth and remember how to confess you before men, Lord. We ask you for this also, this gift of faith that Charity talked about, to believe this and to hold fast. We cast down double-mindedness and unbelief and doubt and discouragement and depression and condemnation. And all those spirits that make war against our faith, we cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been more than conquerors in Christ because he's delivered us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so we accept, Lord, that this is all passed away. All things have become new, as your word says, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, this is Miriam. How are you, my
friend? Hello, Mary.
Yeah?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to give a testimony. I came from Africa 1 year. Now, because I came last year on April, I came to North Dakota. That is where I live with my family. And one thing I can say is that since I came, I had David talking in the TV. There was a morning program that usually comes on Sunday. And I have never heard the words that I heard from him. I had a true gospel. And It has changed my life. God has delivered me. I used to live a life, I can say it's a hypocrisy life, whereby you live, it's like one leg is in Christ, one leg is out back in Africa. But since I started to hear these words from David, it has changed my life and God has delivered me. I just decided to give my life back to God and got saved again. And this year, I had a conviction that I need to be baptized, and I remember asking Michael about baptism, and I'm so happy I got baptized again in the name of Jesus, and I feel so complete, I feel so good. I try to speak to my friends about David, about the gospel, but it's like many of them can't believe this. I don't understand why, but to me, it comes like it's God who is talking to me. Whenever I feel him talk the word of God, it's like God who is talking to me, and this has changed my life, and I feel that I'm in the right place. This is the right person that should talk to me. I have never had this kind of gospel anywhere else. I have lived all those years. I hear so many preachers, but I've never had this kind of word. I'm so happy. I'm so happy even now to hear from him. God bless him so much. Now, one thing I want, I usually use my spectacles because I'm a short-sighted. And last week, I read about the word of faith, the gift of faith, about the substance hoped for. And I want to believe God that I will put these spectacles down. I will no longer be using these specs. And that is where I'm standing today. I drove off my car without them. And I want to believe God that I won't be using these spectacles again. I'm so happy. Pray for my son. He's not hearing well. And God bless you. God bless you so much.
Well, amen. We rejoice with you, sister. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your awesome gift, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I'm happy all over now. I'm happy, happy.
I'm telling you.
Praise God. What did you say your name was?
Miriam.
Miriam. Okay, Miriam.
Yeah.
Praise God. You just, that was a blessing. Thank you very much.
Yes. Amen.
It really is a blessing, a great blessing. I've never experienced such a feeling. It's a good blessing. I just feel like God is talking to me every time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I love it when that happens. Glory to God. That just makes my day. All right, anybody else?
Hello. Mike?
Yeah, Wade, go ahead, brother.
I got a lot on my plate right now. I'm praying for an increased faith so that I can just go to bed without going near my medication. And I know that God has healed me. When I have the life of Christ in me, and I know that for sure. I'm afraid of not sleeping tonight, but I'm going to cast that down somehow and get to sleep, and not take my insulin or the 13 other medications I take. I'm also concerned about my obesity. My faith, I know God can remove the weight. I don't know if he's going to do it by calorie or, you know, burning it off or how, but I believe that God's going to that's healed also. I mean, that was taken care of at the cross. I just don't know how to get from this office to my bedroom and sleep without my medication. I'm a bit fearful of that. And I shouldn't be. I asked for strength of faith, that God would strengthen my faith, and that I would have courage to do this. And I believe I'm healed. The Word certainly says I'm healed, so I go with that. I believe in Jesus. I know that.
We have manifestation that we're already healed.
Yeah, I want to be free, totally, and not dependent on tons of medicines and tons of doctors and all that. And I believe I've been healed. I believe it was given to me at the time I was saved, but I just never pressed into it. Also, I need prayer. I have been with people who prayed for me, who went to the Brownsville Revival, and I'm wondering if that could be part of my problem. I've renounced that spirit, but I don't know if confessing it may be important too.
Well, it could be. We'll just agree with you, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we cast down the Kundalini spirit of the false revival movement, the witchcraft. We cast down Jezebel. We cast down the spirits that are involved in this. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. Wade is free from this in Jesus' name. We forbid the authority of these spirits over him in Jesus' name. We forbid these spirits in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, you have authority to say no to these spirits. You have the authority.
Oh, I definitely don't want to continue with the diabetes, for sure. Or any of the ailments that doctors say I have, and I have made the mistake of confessing with them. I want to confess a whole body and complete and healthy in Christ because of what Jesus did.
Amen. We come against this fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear you loose, Wade. In Jesus' name, you go from him now. We forbid your authority over him. Diabetes, we rebuke you in Jesus' name, you spirit of infirmity. You loose him and you go from him in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we all agree together today that this thing is done. He is delivered out of the power of darkness in Jesus' name. He is free.
Amen.
You believe that, Wade?
Yes, I believe it.
Okay.
I know the word is there for it, and I believe the word with my whole heart. But no buts. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the body of Christ, too, Lord, ministering on
Amen.
To each other.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for Wade's healing and a good night's sleep tonight in Jesus' name. Thank
yes,
you, Father.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Jeanette, too.
Praise you.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay, anybody else? All right. No questions for David? Anybody, did everybody listen to the broadcast Sunday night? It was awesome. Any questions about that?
Seems like that faction thing is just prevalent all the way through Christianity, even with the Brownsville thing all the way up through mainline Christianity. The only thing that's going to break this is the anointing. I understand that's probably the only way it's going to really start coming apart. God starts judging this country and stirring things up. Is that we're going to see people start letting go?
Yep, that's what I believe. I believe as soon as the shaking gets here, people are going to start looking at God instead of the preacher that's sitting up in the pulpit.
Amen. Amen. The Lord is the one that's coming to do this, you know. He's not trusting this to any man. He's going to shepherd his sheep. That's what he said. He's coming. He's coming by the anointing, and he's coming by his word. Take care of this job.
He does a whole lot better job than man, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, let's pray we're ready for that. Because I know during the initial time the Lord came, a lot of people fell away and they couldn't handle what he was going to say. Let's pray that we don't have that problem. Let's pray that we love the word. Amen.
Amen. Father, draw us unto yourself. Empower us by your Spirit, Lord. Fill us up with your Spirit, Father. And Lord, we claim the discernment, the wisdom, the faith of Jesus Christ. We claim it is ours. We claim the reconciliation. We claim that old things have passed away and all things have become new. We claim Christ in us. We thank you, Father, for doing it. We thank you for giving us the faith. We thank you for that the old things have passed away, all of our unbelief, all of our doubt, all of our fears, all of our lack of understanding. We just claim this reconciliation, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord, I believe. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that when this time comes, Lord, many, many people are going to come into your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Got any comments or questions or
question,
something?
Mike, Michael. Yeah, this is Don. Where is Sunday night's program located on the website? What's it titled? Or
well, over on the left-hand side, there's a little box up at the top. It says Updates. And it'll have whatever the date was Sunday on there. That'll be the one. It'll say, right. I forget what they call it, but it'll be the date. And
Dirty David bomb attack.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the dreams that Eve had. That's one of them. That's something he talked about in that.
I think
yeah.
there's three things on that date there. The audio. And two text things.
Right, I see that. Right, yeah. I see that. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep, it's very informative, and it's right on in line with what's happening right now. We need to be ready. We need to be getting ready. Praise God. This communion thing was right on time, I believe. I hope everybody was blessed by it. Okay, we got any more questions? We got any comments?
I have a comment.
All right, Andrew.
I took the number 144,000, and I divided it by 24 time zones. That would be 6,000 per time zone in our time zone here. And if you were to take this time zone and even divide it into 512 different divisions, that would be like taking 12 and a half miles north of where you are now and 12 and a half miles south of where you are now for the width of your entire time zone, that band. And within that width, if I did the math right, there would be 11 of these 144,000 all around the world. I didn't take into account the oceans, too, because I couldn't figure that out, you know, so all the ones that would be in the ocean would be on land, of course. So it was just remarkable how many of these 144,000 would be in a 25-mile band, the width of the time zone, and in each time zone. So... yeah, that's a lot of these people, and it'll be nice to have company with them and talk to them if the Lord spreads them around that way. It'll be amazing.
Amen.
All right, anybody else?
I had a passage from the Lord before we came on it. It was from Matthew 3:15. It says, "But Jesus answered, saying unto him, Suffer it now, for thus it become to us to fulfill all righteousness that suffered him."
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like what Wigglesworth said about faith. He said, there's nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
There ain't nothing small about our God when we understand God, we will find out that there ought not to be anything small about us. We must have an enlargement of our conception of God. Then we will know that we have come to a place where all things are possible, for our God is an omnipotent God for impossible position. You know, I like that Bible study that David had about weakness brings on God's power or something like that. That's so true, man. When you at your weakest and you can't help yourself, that's when God can step in when you holler out to him. That's when he'll step in and he'll help out. And that's when you see miracles. Oh, my goodness. You'll see some great miracles, too. Like the time me and David slid down the hill there in that ice in the truck and went through a car. Didn't hurt us. Came within 2 inches of going over a cliff. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yet we were claiming his weakness on the way down the hill.
What are you talking about? Amen. We were. Lord, we're at our weakest. I had my hands welded to the steering wheel. And it was David. When we finally stopped, David said, come here, I want to show you something. I said, I can't. I can't get my hands off the steering wheel. Oh, for goodness sake. It was, man, it was a mighty day, though. That was a good miracle.
Well, when we left the house, I claimed, you know, that there was no dents going to come in that truck today.
Amen.
And the Lord made the front end of that truck pass right through a car. Well, I watched it happen. He passed right through a car. I said, I couldn't have seen what I just saw.
Oh, me. I wasn't watching it. I was looking at that cliff back behind us. David saw it. I didn't see it. And then when we stopped, he said, come here, I want to show you that. And when I got out of the truck, went up there, the tire tracks going by that car were right next to it, which meant that the bumper and most of the front hood went through the car.
Yep.
We were at our weakest, but God showed himself strong that day.
Amen. Amen.
Here's another on eternal perspectives about Smith Wigglesworth, one of his famous quotes. Never listen to human plans. God can work mightily when you persist in believing him in spite of discouragement from the human standpoint. I am moved by what I believe. I know this. No man looks at the circumstances if he believes. Y'all get that? Mm-hmm. Don't look at the natural things going on around you. That's not what's important. What's important is your belief system in the promises of God. When you believe the promises of God, all this other stuff don't make a bit of a supernatural. Happenings will happen when you do that. Supernatural happenings will happen when you do that. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or talk about? Anybody have any good dreams? Good words from the Lord?
I'd like to ask David, have you heard whether the Anglican Church is experiencing a move of the Lord? Because we've got some relatives that are moving that direction.
No, I haven't heard anything about it. But over the years, I've seen moves of the Spirit in some of the old mainline denominations, and they were just wonderful. It's awesome when God does it, and I know he's going to do it again. Basically to spring people out of those things, you know.
Okay, thanks.
You know, something that the Lord has really been putting on my mind and really gearing me toward is more intercessory prayer, more waiting on the Lord and getting in the presence of the Lord and praying for the people that we know that are struggling, you know, and for the things that he puts on our heart to pray about. And I think that's something that we all need to do is to pray a whole lot more than we have been. I know that I have lacked in that area in the past, but since the Lord has placed it in my heart, I try to get in God's presence and pray for the people that need the prayer and praying for people back home and, you know, in that respect. Has anybody else been having that kind of a urge?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Barry.
Michael, Sandy Shaw was on my heart, and I don't know her except, you know, a little bit through the conference calls, but she's been a strength to me in you know, the ones where I've heard her, and I just have been praying and wanting to pray for her for strength and for God's word to come to her by the Spirit, you know, like Jesus promised that he would bring to our remembrance what he's already spoken to us and give her strength and so she overcomes her health problems and things. So I just wanted to mention that and pray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, someone else might be able to do it better because I don't know her situation too well. I could pray just what I said. Should I go ahead and start, you think?
But go ahead, and then if somebody has something from the Holy Spirit, we'll just all join in, okay?
All right.
Yeah, you start it out, and we'll just join in with you.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Sandy Shaw that you will strengthen her, that you'll cause her to rise up in strength to overcome these problems that she's been having. You know where she needs the strength and where she needs the encouragement. And we pray in Jesus' name that you bring your word to her powerfully through dreams, that you speak to her in visions, dreams, by gifts of your Spirit, or just by bringing your word to her, and especially that you bring your word to her to give her strength and uphold her with your righteous right hand, because you've said in your word that you uphold all things by the word of your power. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we just we thank you for Sandy's complete healing. We thank you, Lord, that you have placed in her faith to believe your promises and to fix any correction that needs to be fixed, repent, confess, whatever, Lord. We thank you that you are placing her in line for this great healing that you've got planned out for her, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that her foot's on the way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for lifting her up, and Jeff, too, her husband, and giving them bold and great and bold faith, Lord, to believe your promises. Thank you, Father. And we command those spirits of pharmakia out of that house in Jesus' name. Any kind of unclean spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft, you go. And we thank you, Father, that any darts that the enemy's throwing at them are thrown to the ground as null and void. And we praise you, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Barry.
I was reminded about how when Job prayed for his friends, his whole situation turned around, you know. And many times we just pray for ourselves because we're so deep into this problem or that problem. But the Lord wants us to remember to give to others too, you know, and pray for their needs, and the Lord will turn our situations around.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Michael, I think we've been, Lord's kind of been showing us that we need to pray for the people we know and people he puts in our dreams, because we found out from the past that when he does that, those people at that time were really in need that we didn't even know about. And you think about it, just about anybody you know needs prayer of some kind. I mean, none of them know the true gospel, and they've got all kinds of health problems and money problems and just all kinds of problems. So about anybody you know really needs prayer.
Amen. That's right. Amen. You know, It's prayer that gets answered is the one, so you know that you're connected with God, and those prayers are going to be answered. And we just rest in it after we pray, right? I like to read about these old-time saints of God that when they prayed, you know, mighty things happened. And if you look back on your own life, you'll see where God answered great and mighty prayers that you prayed that you didn't think were mighty prayers at the time, but he answered them. And somebody was asking, who was it? Was it George Mueller that said that he had over 50,000 prayers answered? Something like that. he kept a book on them. Somebody, I forget who it was. It might have been Mueller. Yeah, I believe it was. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add to this wonderful night we've had tonight?
I got something that I sort of just started. You know, with the conference call, you know, I have names, list of names here. I'm sad that I can't put the face to the name, but there's like people like Amber and Albert and Jackie and Mary and Julia and Malcolm and Chad and Charity and Gail and Jeff and Sandy and Missy and Wade and Jeanette and Judy, Joe and Nora, Anna in California. Joan Norris in South Africa, and Kevin, and of course David and Michael, and you know, these are the Pamela. I don't know if I said that one. These are Eve and Gaydon, Cheryl, and children. You know, these are some of the names that I've written down that I've just overheard the people come on, and you know, I have this list to hold these people some up and sometimes in prayer, you know, like when I open the book or I have it in a list in my room, you know, and along with other people, you know, I was just wondering if anyone else was doing that.
Is anyone else doing that? Is anybody taking note of these prayers and writing them down and when they get answered? Because I know we've had a lot of them answered on the conference calls.
Actually, it's just to have their name that you're praying for them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've got a list of them. I got a list of all of them. But what's that, Barbara?
I said I have done that before.
Okay.
I don't always do that, but I have done that many a times. Yeah. Someone keep me in prayer too, please. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, we'll keep you in prayer. Barbara, Father, we just come to you for Barbara. We thank you, Lord, for bringing her right along at your speed. And, Father, we ask that you bless her mightily. Bless her coming and a-going, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to show her that her prayers are being answered as well. And, Lord, we just thank you for blessing her in Jesus' name.
Can I ask for a prayer request, too?
Yeah.
Pray for my husband. Get himself out from under the curse. I mean, that he would get out from under the curse. He listened to me enough.
Oh. What's the matter with him?
He just has, like, a lot of ailments. Just, like, one thing after another. He listens to the doctor's reports and just different things. Diabetes, one of them, and like Wade, he takes like 13 different medicines, and he really struggles in believing, having faith, because he goes on what he sees and what he feels, and I can only say so much, and I just would like to lift him up in prayer. If you guys would pray for him, that he would see his need to be delivered and to see his need to.
Okay, what's his name?
Bruce.
I'm sorry?
Bruce.
Oh, okay. All right, Father, we just lift up Bruce to you, Father, and Lord, we just ask that you give him a dream or a vision or something like that that would get him focused on you. Lord, put a hunger in his heart for the word. Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to take the blinders off of him. You're going to show him what faith is. You're going to give him the opportunity to believe a little bit. And you're going to show him, Lord, we ask that you give him victory in the little things so he'll see how you work, Lord. And we just ask for complete freedom from pharmakia and the doctors in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for taking the blinders off of him. We command those blinders off in the name of Jesus. And we ask and we pray for complete deliverance from all of that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for placing it in Barbara to rest in the knowledge that he's been prayed for. And all she has to do is sit back and believe. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to be set free shortly. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Well, all right. We've come to another end here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray before we get out of here? Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you live in us and that curse doesn't have any place in our beings, Lord. And we thank you that we're going to live by faith from this point on. We're going to live because we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We've been healed by the blood of Christ. We have been delivered by the blood of Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us that small measure of faith for each one of us to believe for those things that we need. And we thank you for it, Father, that many were healed tonight. Many were infused with faith because of what the Word says. And Lord, we thank you that there's going to be many testimonies the next time we come together. And Lord, we ask that you bless David for coming on and sharing and taking time out to share with the people on the conference call. Lord, we ask that you bless him mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, saints. God bless.